Our next case is 11-902, Bennett versus Goodremont's Incorporated. Joining us for this case is Appellate Judge Patrick Fisher from the First District. Justice Lansinger is recusing from this matter, and Judge Patrick Fisher is sitting in her place. We'll start with Mr. Heffel.
Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, my name is Paul Heffel, and I represent the appellant, Mark Bennett. I would reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. The issue presented is the scope of the jurisdiction of the Common Pleas Court in a 512 appeal of the order of the Bureau of Workers' Comp or the Industrial Commission that denies a claimant participation solely on the basis of validity. As provided in the Ohio Administrative Code 4123-309, the procedures in the processing of applications for benefits, the initial inquiry is the validity of the claim, i.e., coverage. There are numerous grounds upon which validity can be denied. Here, it was the coming and going rule. Once there is a validity denial, there is no further administrative inquiry or determination of any other issue, such as the nature of the injury or medical condition involved.
Counsel,
it would be illogical.
To start this whole process, you've filed some form with...
With the initial intake form with the Bureau of Workers' Comp. Okay. I got a claim.
And does that form reflect that your client was injured?
Yes, that form at that time, within a few days of this automobile accident, indicated that he in general had injuries to his neck and back.
So the nature, the body parts that were injured, and the fact that there was injury is disclosed to the Bureau at the initial outset?
In a very general sense, yes. Because again, as we know, and as occurred in this case, developments of further conditions from the incident occurred.
Okay.
But again, the problem or the focus has to be on the process here of the intake. And logically, the intake looks to see if there is coverage. Is there validity? If there is a denial of the claim on that basis, then there is no reason to go further to inquiry into the type of injury, the nature of the medical condition.
So, Mr. Heffel, take me through the procedural steps. Was there a hearing officer involved in this case?
Yes.
And the determination was that because this was within the coming and going rule, it was determinative of the outcome of the case.
That was the only issue, yes.
Okay. And then was there an appeal from that determination?
Yes. There was an appeal from that.
To?
The next level before the commission.
Yes.
And again, in that particular decision, again, the only decision was made was that Cubby Drilling applied and the coming and going rule applied.
Okay.
Specifically.
And then from there was a subsequent appeal.
That goes to the commission to decide whether or not they want to hear the case. If they don't hear the case, then the last decision becomes the final decision.
And that occurred?
That occurred, and that decision at the bottom, as well as the statute 4123.512, says you appeal directly to the Common Pleas Court.
So the issue then under the statute being appealed to the Common Pleas Court, as I understand it, is the right to participate.
Have I got the only decision that has been made.
Pardon me, please?
It's the only decision that had been made in the entire administrative proceedings.
Okay. So now, before the determination then in the Common Pleas Court, there's a right to a jury proceeding, right?
Yes.
And a trial on the claim.
Yes.
And so what you're arguing to us is that that proceeding and the right to participate only includes the going and coming rule, or do you want it to be more expansive, and is there a duty on the part of a claimant to put a case before the court for an award?
No, it is the state's position that in the 512 hearing, we should be arguing the injury and medical condition and introduce expert medical testimony when we haven't even determined whether there is coverage.
What do you think the purview of that right to participate at the Common Pleas Court level is?
The right to participate is, first of all, whether or not this is covered.
Pardon me, please?
Whether or not it's covered. Again, we go back to that validity issue. Is it valid? Is it a valid claim for which workers' comp will provide coverage for?
Yes.
Then, if that's found under the administrative rules, then the Bureau of Workers' Comp makes a determination of what that injury is. And then it is done in an informal method. Reports are introduced. You don't have to bring witnesses or doctors in. Determinations are made. There may be no argument. There has been no argument as to whether or not Mr. Bennett suffered a particular injury or not. But at that is why the whole point is that, as we know, you appeal the order that is made. You do not appeal matters that are outside that order. And that is exactly what the court in Ward said. And in particular, in the syllabus, it says the claimant in an RC 4123-512 appeal may seek to participate in workers' compensation fund only for those conditions that were addressed in the administrative order from which the appeal is taken.
At the very first level, when you made your first presentation, and they decided that the coming and going rule applied, what would have happened, just from your experience, because I don't know what the law would be on this, if you had then said, well, I need to present all of my medical evidence, would they have allowed you to go ahead and present your medical evidence at that point?
No, because I believe if we, again, look at the administrative code that sets up the process, 4123-309, says you got to make that first validity determination before you do anything. If you find it's valid. Second step, then you go ahead and determine medical. So, no, I don't believe that I would have been permitted to introduce evidence at that time if the claim was found to be invalid.
Well, counsel, was there a hearing before the initial determination was made that the employee was subject to the coming and goings rule?
No, Your Honor.
It was a filing.
Basically, the initial filing for the claim goes to the employer. The employer can admit it or deny it. In this case, it denied it on the coming and going rule.
And then 3 days later, the Bureau of Worker Comp denied the claim, and there was no opportunity to present anything other than the claim, the dispute as to the validity of the claim that was proffered by the employer. It just administratively, paperwork, it was denied.
Right.
Okay. So you can't present any medical evidence or injury evidence at that point.
Correct.
All right. So then you move on from there with an appeal.
Yes.
And you took that appeal directly to the Common Pleas Court.
No, Your Honor. It went through the stages
with the Industrial
right. Commission,
okay.
The three levels that are provided for there.
Okay. And when at that point would there have been the opportunity to present medical evidence of injury?
There shouldn't. Again, an appeal is an appeal of the order. So the first order was no validity, no coverage.
There's no additional evidence to be taken. There's no, you know, before hearing officer, et cetera. It's just purely an appellate process via paperwork.
Right. As I say, as a matter of logic and economics, it would be a waste of time for the claimant and for the state and for everybody involved to get into these medical issues if there's no claim.
Okay.
Mr. Effel, if I'm understanding the state's position, it is you went through this process, you get to the Common Pleas Court, the Common Pleas Court agrees coming and going apply as you go to the Court of Appeals and they reverse? Is that right?
The trial court found yes.
The trial court did a summary.
Yes.
And you go to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals said there's enough dispute here that the trial court should actually hear the evidence on whether or not the coming and going rule applies.
Right. As we know, the coming and going rule is a fact as well as
a legal. So you go back to the trial court, and you present your evidence on that issue, and then the state says, well, you lose because you didn't present any medical evidence here to the judge. The jury was waived.
Or right.
It really, is that even a jury question, the coming and going rule?
I suppose the questions of fact would be, you know, again, there are questions of fact involved in that legal proposition.
So the second time you're in front of the judge who now has to move beyond summary.
Right. That's been remanded from the Court of Appeals on this factual issue of the coming and going rule. Nothing else. I mean, the state went to and on its summary judgment claimed there's no other issues. The state had filed a motion at one point saying they had to exclude all medical evidence by the plaintiff because it's irrelevant.
Upon remand from the 6th District, couldn't you put on any evidence you wanted?
As to the issue that's on appeal, yes, as to validity.
Well, the appeal was sent back down.
Yes.
Okay. You can, after you appeal from the Industrial Commission, you can put on almost any evidence you want to the Court of Common Pleas.
Well, this is where we get into a ward again, where again, the court analyzed this very carefully and said, and I quote, a necessary and inherent part of the overall adjudicative framework of the Workers' Compensation Act is to determine the injury. It is not for the court at the first instance to become the claim adjuster of this case, nor is the question even ripe for the court. Do we want the court and the jury to sit through a hearing on whether or not the coming and going rule applies, validity, and then hear all the evidence about the injury, have the doctors as expert testimony, have the state get their doctors and present all this, only to find out that the validity issue is upheld?
So can I, then under your argument then, because you could have asked the trial court to bifurcate, but under your view of the case then, we would do what just happened, the court would rule on the comings and going rule, and then would you start all over on the medical evidence, or you would have a second trial then before this the common pleas judge on the issue of injury?
No, the statute at that point says if the court finds the right of participation, which it did find, then it sends it back to
you
the
start
commission
all over again.
As if it were its order. The commission filters it down to the Bureau of Workers' Comp and says, okay, on this initial finding of validity, you're wrong. Now start. And the administrative process starts. And that's part of the right of the claimant. It's part of the right that he was given in this grand bargain, where he exchanges certain rights of pain and suffering and other damages for the expediency of the administrative hearing of this matter.
Counsel, at the time that you were back before the trial court on the issue of the ability to participate based on the coming and going rule, had there been any medical examination done of your client by an independent medical expert on behalf of the Bureau or the employer or whatever?
None.
So if you were going to present evidence at that trial that you were only arguing the coming and going, and if you had evidence, you would only have evidence as to the injuries your client suffered. There would be no counter evidence on behalf of the employer or the Bureau.
Correct. But again, that this is where this whole issue, I think, has to focus like any order of a court or of an administrative agency. That is the issue that's being appealed. If this were an automotive case and coverage was denied under the policy, I wouldn't go ahead then and prove my injuries.
Well, what I'm saying is it would be a little impractical to be litigating half of a case with regards to the injuries on very limited. I mean,
it would be somewhat the same surprise in Ward that the court found was improper. In other words, at least in Starkey, the condition, although the causation changed, the condition had been examined, the condition had been determined, all those medical issues had been covered. In this case, there was no medical. There was no pre-medical determination. We don't even know, again, whether there would be any dispute about the injury. It's mere speculation because the Bureau itself never looked at that evidence.
At the common police court level, it is effectively trial de novo, though.
Well, again, yes, trial de novo, though under the statute, I believe, and under the proceedings, is that the court proceeds without reference to the documents of the Industrial Commission or the Bureau. Well, the Industrial Commission and the Bureau's only documents on this is the validity issue. De novo, I do not believe in this context means, and I think Ward forbids it, that we start bringing up new issues. For the first time, I get to surprise the state and sneak in my doctors and my medical at the 512 hearing. I don't think that's what the statute contemplates, nor what it says.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hampton?
Good morning, Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the Court. The critical question here, and what determines what was before the Common Pleas Court, is the fact that there is no remand available in the context of a 512 proceeding. Once the court properly exercises jurisdiction over a claim, the court must proceed to full and final resolution of the claimant's right to participate in the fund, including all elements of that claim. And there is no opportunity to send back to the BWC for further proceedings on that claim.
Counsel, I labor under a mistaken impression, but I thought on workers' comp, the only issue that ever went to the Common Pleas Court was participation.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Looking at this, for example, where medical might get involved would be someone who had a heart attack. And they said it was caused by the stress at work or something like that. And the employer said, no, this is just a medical condition that happened to this person. It's not a work-related injury. The jury might be considering experts on medical condition, but most of the time it to the extent you're doing medical, it is, again, was this work-related or not? It's not the how much is the injury or how much is it worth or how many, you know, is it permanent or those kind of things. Those are not litigated in the common police court, are they?
Well, Your Honor, the causation is absolutely litigated, but more importantly, the fact of injury itself has to be litigated. As this court held in Ward, there is no claim for participation in the fund based on generic injury. The claimant must specify some medical condition in support of his claim, and that is true at the administrative level and at the common pleas level. The claimant must always come forward with the medical conditions for which he participates.
That wasn't in dispute here, and that wasn't in dispute on appeal. It was that this is not work-related because of the coming and going rule. This is you're on your own nickel on this injury.
Well, at the administrative level, the BWC ruled, denied the claim on the basis of the coming and going rule. That is true. And, in fact, the BWC does not have any particular policy for always ruling on just work relatedness or on medical rules. The administrative code requires merely that the BWC and the Industrial Commission approve or deny a claim. Once that claim was denied and the case came to the Common Pleas Court, the question before the court was the right to participate in the fund, and that necessarily includes the injury component. Now, Your Honor is correct that in this case there was a great deal of focus early on in the proceedings on the application of the coming and going rule. 2 months before trial, in the administrator's trial brief, in the administrator's opening argument, and at the motion for directed verdict, the administrator made very clear his position that the claimant had the burden to establish all elements of his claim, including injury and in this case, a question of causation. Mr. Bennett declined to do that. He consistently refrained and maintained that he was under no obligation because those questions were not before the court. But what's important to understand is that the very nature of the 512 proceeding is what prevents, is what requires that all those questions be before the court. There is no remand because the statute does not permit it. Under the statutory framework...
Now, what do you mean by no remand? If the dispute is about coming and going, and so let's say the claimant put on some evidence saying, I was hit by this car, I've had a serious neck injury, I even have some medical bills here, and prevails now on the coming and going rule. Are you saying that the trial court determines how much the compensation is and all of that?
Not at all, Your Honor.
There would be a remand then, wouldn't there?
Absolutely not, Your Honor, because the mere fact that the coming and going rule doesn't apply does not answer entirely the question of whether the claimant gets to participate in the fund. The claimant, in order to participate in the fund, must demonstrate an injury, and that is defined as a specific medical condition, not just a claim of mere injury, which is at most what was offered in the record below, and that the injury must be caused by a work-related accident. So the coming and going exception is only half the story in this case. That is the nature of a 512 proceeding.
So if one prevails saying, okay, I was... Let's make this. Instead of going to the office for a sales meeting, you're now going to make a sales call, and you're in a car wreck, and you say, okay, I'm applying for workers' comp, and you're turned down, and you're in court, and the court says, no, this appears to be a covered injury. Then it still goes back, doesn't it, for a determination of what the level of your disability is and what your compensation should be.
Absolutely, Your Honor, but that presupposes that one has proven the injury component. The claim is not simply that there was some work-related injury. That does not answer the question of whether one is entitled to participate in the fund. The claim is a specific medical condition for which participation in the fund is allowed. For example, a herniated disc or a concussion. And so those questions must be answered. Now, if in the particulars of this case, if the court is concerned that Mr. Bennett should be granted an opportunity to offer his medical proof, that would certainly be an act of grace, and the court could do that if it's so inclined. But what I want to emphasize is that Mr. Bennett is proposing a rule to solve his problem that will fundamentally alter the way workers' compensation cases are handled. They do not bounce back and forth between the BWC and the courts. That is not what the legislature intended.
You say there's no remand, but in every common pleas court case in which the claimant prevails, it goes back, doesn't it? It goes back for a determination of the Amount of medical bills that are appropriate to be paid, the amount of time off from work that's appropriate to be paid, and the permanency or the lack thereof of the injury and the appropriate compensation for that. That all goes back, doesn't it, after a win by the claimant in the common pleas court.
I see your point, Your Honor, and so let me be more precise. There is no remand as to further develop the particular question before the court in the 512 hearing, which is the claimant entitled to participate in the fund? The trial itself is a de novo trial. De novo is inconsistent with the notion of remand. The statute itself directs the trial court not to review the BWC's order. It directs the trial court to answer the ultimate question in every workers' compensation case: is the claimant entitled to participate in the funds? And once that question is answered, that determination becomes the determination of the BWC. So in effect, for purposes of the 512 trial, the statute itself puts the trial court in the shoes of the BWC to make that final determination. And it does that because the legislature recognized that workers' compensation needs to be a moving train. There is an administrative process. A claim is presented. It is approved or it is denied on whatever grounds it may be denied. And then the claim moves to the Common Pleas Court. And it is for the Common Pleas Court to make the final determination. And that final determination necessarily encompasses all potential issues, including the issue of injury, any proof required of causation, and if there are questions about work-relatedness, as there were here, that question must also be answered.
Is this an issue that comes up and is dealt this way frequently? Because I get the impression that the attorney representing this gentleman said, no, the only issue I have to deal with is coming and going. I'm not going to present medical. And it sounds like from the briefs in your statement today is that your administrator said, no, you must present medical. And they declined, saying it wasn't necessary. So they took their chance that somebody like us was going to decide that issue. But do you see that position taken frequently, or what is the experience?
No, Your Honor. It has never been the case prior to this court's decision in Ward that cases were remanded to the BWC for further development on the question of participation in the fund. Ward itself did not purport to answer that question. Ward was plainly addressed to the question of presentation and the requirement that the claimant may not sandbag the BWC by holding back medical conditions and then waiting to present them at the first time at the 512 trial. And after Ward, with the exception apparently of Mr. Bennett, no other claimant has maintained that that's what Ward meant.
And so your position would be that a claimant had the duty, once it got to 512, to finalize the issue of coming and going and then to present medical, even if that was the very first time your office ever saw any of the medicals.
Well, Your Honor, as a matter of course, that is correct, Your Honor. As a matter of course, however, medical evidence does get submitted in the course of the administrative process, even if, there are general correspondents that just go out and request information. In this particular case, Mr. Bennett's initial report of injury, which is one place we look to see what claims, what medical conditions the claimant is bringing, identified generic sort of head, neck, and back injuries. But then there's a note from one of his, I assume, treating physicians, a Dr. Gallagher, which identifies concussion and herniated discs. Now, at a minimum, the administrator was those would have been the conditions that were presented and addressed at the BWC level. Ultimately, however, Mr. Bennett had to then prove some conditions in support of his claim at the 512 level, and that's his burden no matter what. That's
well,
every
well, that's
claim
really the question that we have, Mr. Hampton, because the only matter, as I understand Mr. Heffel's argument, that was determined by the commission and initially by the hearing officers and ultimately by the commission was application of the coming and going rule precluded participation in the fund. And so we had a claimant who thought he had a claim, but the commission said you don't because it's excluded.
That's correct.
And he appealed for the right to participate in the fund on his claimed injuries to the Common Pleas Court. And if I'm reading Judge Donahue's opinion correctly, his conclusion is Mr. Bennett's employment status was non-fixed and the coming and going rule would not apply to preclude workers' compensation benefits for him. So it occurs to me that the Common Pleas Court reversed the commission on the right to participate, but then the court sort of sua sponte made a determination, oh my goodness, as I look at the rest of the case authority, there should be some medical evidence presented. And since there isn't any, Mr. Bennett doesn't have a right to participate. And what's I think concerning the members of the court is, does a claimant not ever have to present anything to the commission? And can they always just get up to the Court of Common Pleas and then here's our case, so we only have to do it there?
No, no, absolutely not, Your Honor. And that's in
fact... What is it that is if the only issue the commission considered got reversed by the trial court, why isn't this matter, as Justice Pfeiffer's suggesting, why isn't it returned to the commission to process the claim?
Because, Your Honor, the claim was processed. So it's important to understand that the right to participate
apparently
in the fund...
Well, apparently the medical evidence wasn't processed.
Well, Your Honor, but the right to participate in the fund is not coextensive with the question of the application of the coming and going rule. The BWC can deny a claim for any number of reasons. It
yes.
need not consider any particular issue if one issue is dispositive. Once the BWC makes a final order, the claim makes a final determination, the claim must move to the trial court, and the trial court must answer the global question, is the claimant entitled to participate in the funds, which necessarily entails both an injury and that injury was work-related. The coming and going rule goes to the work-relatedness.
Well, the trial court made a finding that, in its order, that the injury occurred while he was in his motor vehicle and, as a result, because another motorist struck the rear of his vehicle, he received injuries from that accident. Is that enough?
No, Your Honor. A claim of injury is plainly insufficient. The Ward Court itself said that there has to be an alleged and proven medical condition. Mr. Bennett simply refused to identify what conditions he sought participation in the fund for at the 512 stage, which he was obligated to do both administratively and also at the 512 trial.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I think I understand, Mr. Hampton.
Counsel, I'd like to ask a question, take a little different tact. Let's suppose in this case that claim was filed with the administrator and it was denied because of the coming and going rule. So then it's appealed a district hearing officer, and let's assume that again it was denied because of the coming and going rule. It's appealed again to the staff hearing officer, and let's say in this case the staff hearing officer said the coming and going rule didn't apply. At that point, then, does the claimant in that proceeding have the obligation to offer the medical evidence then which establishes the connection between the accident and the injury?
Well, yes, Your Honor, because there's no way that the claim could ever be approved without it both being work-related and there being proper medical evidence. And so if the staff hearing officer determined that the coming and going rule didn't apply, the staff officer would then, as a matter of course, move to the medical determination.
So at the first opportunity where it's not barred by something other than the medical information, the medical information must be presented in order for the person who's making the determination to make that determination.
Yes, Your Honor, the medical yes, Your Honor.
In this case, that was at the trial common pleas court level.
Well, yes, that's absolutely correct, Your Honor. I mean, the medical evidence always has to be proven, and there's no way a claim could ever be granted without that medical evidence.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hoffel, you've used all your time, but you may take a minute.
I will just make one point, Your Honors. I believe that the use of the word remand in this argument is misleading. If we look at the statutory scheme work here under 512, sections E says the court shall certify its decision to the commission, and it'll be entered into its records. And under G, the finding of the court will be considered the finding by the commission, and it will return then to the stage in the process at which the error occurred. The error occurred at the very initial process of denial of validity. Under the statute, it calls for it to be sent back. Now, using the word remand, again, mischaracterizes what is to be done here.
Counsel, right. What was that cite again?
Pardon me?
What was the cite that you just...
This was to revised code 4123.512, and it's sections E and G that provide the mechanism for it to be returned to the commission.
That's for the effect of the trial court's determination to be implemented by the commission.
Down through to the Bureau of Workers'
Comp,
right.
Okay.
To the point at which the error occurred, and that would be with Bureau of Workers' Comp, and therefore it would pick up and do its job that this court recognizes is its function, to make those administrative decisions.
Counsel, the question that I asked counsel for the administrator, if this had been denied along the way on the coming and going rule until it got to the staff hearing officer, and at that point the staff hearing officer says coming and going rule doesn't apply, would a claimant not have the obligation to offer the medical evidence at that point at the staff hearing officer?
No, Your Honor, I believe he would send it back to the Bureau of Workers' Comp. They are the administrative agency who handles these determinations. They gather the medical evidence.
But they denied it, and it got denied on a first appeal level, administrative appeal, and then it gets to the next level, and don't they have the obligation to enter the order that the administrator should have entered?
That's my trouble
with this case, is it seems that at the first opportunity to enter all of the evidence, that's where it is supposed to be entered. In this case, in the hypothetical I gave you, that would be at the staff hearing level, but in this case, it would have been at the trial court level.
Again, Your Honor, I believe that the Bureau of Workers' Comp never reached any medical issue at all, never considered that. It would be a waste of time and money to do so. Again, if you deny coverage, what do we care what your injuries were?
That wasn't exactly my question. My question was a hypothetical. Let's say at the staff hearing officer, they said the coming and going rule didn't apply, was entitled to workers' comp, but now I need the medical evidence to be able to determine what the extent of injury is. Wouldn't the medical information have to be entered at that point rather than going back to the administrator?
No, I don't believe so, Your Honor. Again, it is an appellate process. So the appeal was from the Bureau of Workers' Compensation's denial on the coming and going rule. The district and staff officers considered that, and if they had found that that finding was wrong, they would still send it back to the Bureau of Workers' Comp then to do their job of determining the injury.
Was there discussion at your pretrial in the Common Pleas Court of what the evidence was going to be, or were there opening statements that went beyond the coming and going rule in that trial?
Yes, the state at that time made the argument that the injury must be proved.
And that was contested between
right.
The parties.
And there was testimony introduced without any objection that there was an injury. But again, it would seem ridiculous at that point to start arguing, okay, what is the injury? What's the extent of the injury? Let's bring in all these medical experts and evidence at this point, in this stage, when there has been no consideration of that. There's been no determination by the Bureau that there isn't an injury here.
All right.
It's
all right.
The Bureau to do its job.
I understand.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Poffel. We will take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you adjourn court, please?
Thank you. All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.